So when Lyle said that we see him in prison and he wanted to go into prison to speak, but he didn't think he'd be able to. I didn't think he'd be able to either. When he was telling us in the prison, you know, he's saying all this stuff he's going to do when he gets out. I'm thinking, you ain't going to do it, player. You ain't going to do it. I'm just as shocked as anybody. When he showed up to these meetings, and the next thing I know, he went down to the Louisville women's prison with me. He went in there, and he went into the Madison women's prison with us. Did you go to Blackford County Jail with us?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can remember when I first got out, her dad asked me to come and speak at the mission. And I went down there to speak. And right before I got ready to speak, she left. She said, you ain't never a player.
I didn't say that. I never said it out loud.
Yeah, you're not serious. You
never said it out loud. I had somewhere to go. Baby needed a new pair of shoes. I had to go somewhere. All right, on page 955, if you have one of these, we'll talk about the power of worship. Colossians 3:16-17.
I see it. 955.
What is it?
3:16-17.
You want somebody to read it?
Jason, go ahead.
It says that the message of Christ dwell among the nation, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen.
So do you believe that we can lift each other up through singing? Yep, good, because we're getting ready to sing right now. So the song, it's very simple. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. And we'll just do that. Just simple little chorus, three or four things. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. Got it? You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. And you deserve the glory. Just sing it to the Lord. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. Everything we have is because of what God put here in the earth. Every single thing that we have, everything you look around and see, whether it's a building, if it's lights, if it's your cell phone, like everything that's on the earth only came from within the earth. Nothing was shipped in from outer space. Nothing has been shipped into this planet. But when God created the earth, He put everything in there for people to discover, to create, to be able to turn one thing into something else. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Every single thing here came from what all He put in the earth at the very beginning. It's all His. It's all His. And that's why He's worthy of all the glory of it. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to read a story about what happens when you worship.
It's on page 358.
What?
Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Page 358.
And we are going to read all the way through I will tell you as soon as I can see it through verse 30.
Second Chronicles 20.
Just go to 358, Toby. I know it. Cece, you feel like reading? Sure. Just the first two paragraphs.
After this, the
Moabites.
Moabites and
Ammonites.
That's okay. Meunites. And it, and look, don't that sound just like today? Like if we were going to be called some tribe of people, we would be Meunites. Because it's all about me. Anyway, go ahead. The Meunites. Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some people even told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. From the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in
Hezbollah Tamar.
A warned Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him.
So the very first thing he did, well, at first he was alarmed, and then he set his resolve to seek the Lord. What does the word resolve mean? Pardon? Can't hear you.
Come up with a solution.
Resolve, it's when you set your mind on what you're going to do. Yeah, when you set your mind on how you're going to figure this out. Resolve is when you're in a halfway house, and you say, you know what, I'm setting my mind to go get high, and I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I'm going to end up in jail. I don't care what I'm going to lose. That's a resolve. You have set your mind, your sights on what you're going to do, and nothing's going to stop you. So he set his mind, he set his resolve that he was going to seek the Lord, and he wasn't going to do anything else, but he was going to the Lord first. If we go to the very next page right before that, on chapter 18, verse 4, there was another situation when Jehoshaphat, a king, wanted Jehoshaphat to go to war with him. And Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. Now, go back over to page to chapter 20. So, see, this was a practice, because seeking the Lord first is something that takes practice. It's something you have to train yourself that that's going to be your first response. It doesn't come natural, but this is something Jehoshaphat was already doing. When already in other examples, whenever it came to a war, when it came to something, he's like, I'm going to seek the Lord first. He'd already learned early in life that that's what he needed to do. Khadijah. Would you like to read starting with verse 5, and then you're going to go all the way through 12?
Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of the ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now hear our man from Ammon, Moab, and Monsir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade. they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God will not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Okay, now let's look back over that. Well, first of all, I skipped a verse, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly. No, wait, before that, verse 4. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. One thing that worship does, too, is it draws everybody together. It causes people to come together when they're seeking the Lord and when they worship. And then, so one thing that we have to do when we're in a situation like this is to remind ourselves who God is. Remind ourselves what he has done in our past, like he's already done it. The first thing they started saying, you are the God, you're already the God who delivered us. He says, you're the God who's in heaven. You're the God who rules all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. They're reminding God who he is. I mean, God already knows, but sometimes we have to tell ourselves, and we got to stir ourselves up by saying who he is and reminding him, we know who you are. We know you can come to our defense. We know you hold everything in your hand. So we have to remind ourselves, remind him, remind ourselves who he is and who we are in him and what can be accomplished. And then they start saying that these people, you told us to spare them. Do you see what they're doing? Like, have you ever done something when you felt like God told you to do something for somebody, and then it comes right back in your face, and you're like, oh, wait, that isn't what I got coming. All of a sudden, we're offended. Like, that isn't what I did that for. I wasn't being nice for them just so they could slap me in the face. But here God had told them when they first went into that land, he's like, don't bother these people. And now these people are turning on them and are going to attack them. In Judges chapter 3, I think verse 2 and 3, it talks about that when the Israelites went into the land, that the Lord left some people in the land who would make war against them, so that the people who had never known war would know how to make war. So sometimes, like when there's a battle comes up and you're not expecting it, the Lord needs us to learn how to fight. He needs us to learn how to stand. Like sometimes the Lord doesn't just lay everything down, because we will just fall apart. I would just fall apart if my eggs were too sour today. I would have just fell apart. If I had not already made 100 other cooking mistakes, if I hadn't already ruined so many other dishes, I would have just fell apart today when I first tasted those eggs. But that's how you learn how to battle. That's how you learn how to fight, is learning that there's going to be disappointments. There's going to be things that come up, and we still have to stand. So seeking God brings us together. Oh, there's a reason I wanted to tell you that, was because when the people came together, when he drew them and he told them to come and pray, that is the best thing to do. Because look at this, all of Judah. Look at how many opinions there would have been about what should be done. Everybody would have had an opinion. Everybody would have had something to say. Everybody would have thought, we should do it this way. We should do this. Why aren't you doing this? But you know what? When you call on the Lord first, that means silence. Keep your own opinions to yourself. We're seeking the Lord. And that is the best thing to do when you have a group of people and you guys can't come into agreement about something. Let's pray about this. Let's just stop right now and let's pray about it. And that's what Marvin said this morning. I know you guys will find it hard to believe that sometimes I have a problem with my attitude. And it doesn't make no sense. I'm 58 years old. Like, why don't I just grow up? It's like, just get over yourself. But I get offended, and I totally run on my emotions, and I go right off the deep end. And so this morning, I was sitting on the floor. I'm talking to the Lord again. I'm telling him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm sitting here, and it's like, why do I keep going through this? Why? And Marvin sends me this text that said, how do you change your behavior? Change what you worship. He had no idea I was going to talk about worship tonight. He said, how do you change your behavior? Change what you worship. Worship is grounding your significance and security in some object of love above all others. I was worshiping my emotions. I was worshiping my opinions. And I was putting my emotions and my opinions above God. And I thought that my opinions and my emotions mattered more than what God thought about the situation. That's why my emotions throw me right over the edge and right off the deep end, because I do not put God in front of my emotions. And when Marvin sent that to me, I was like, oh my goodness. I never ever would have seen it that way, that I had been worshiping my own feelings, that that matters more to me than what how God says that I should behave and act. So worship makes a way for us to have a right view of God. It reminds God and ourselves who He is. Oh, and I love this part at the end of in verse 12. They said, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You." So it's always admitting our weakness, admitting to God, I have no power. I have no power over this, but my eyes are on You. So we're going to continue on. I need somebody to read from verse 14 through 17.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jalil, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord said to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you."
This is such a great chapter. Whenever you are having a battle or a struggle, I just want to tell you, go back and read this chapter. So another thing worship does, well, one, in verse 13, when it says all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood before the Lord, like worship brings families together. Another thing, it makes a way, in verse 15, it makes a way for you to hear from the Lord. When that was a perfect question, when Lyle said, when's the last time that you heard from the Lord, or when have you heard from the Lord? They were worshiping, they were seeking God, they were praying, and so the Lord gave this man the word, and he said, "This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's." They needed to hear that right then. Right then, they needed a word from God that says, "We will be saved. We will be delivered." And the way that they would not have been praying, if they all would have been like this, like a bunch of chickens, everybody with their own idea, everybody saying, "We should do this. We need to make more bows and arrows. We need to get horses and chariots." They could have been running around doing all of this stuff for nothing, and they would have never heard from the Lord. They would have never heard that God had to say to them, "The battle is not yours, but it's God's." He's saying, "This is my battle. You don't even got to worry about it." Amen. He says in verse 17, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." So worship makes a way for courage and boldness even when it doesn't make sense. And you can say, "I'm not in the middle of a crisis. I'm in the middle of a miracle. How is God going to get me out of this?" I have a girl living with me right now. She's 20 years old. She eats like she's a teenage boy. This girl went through my monthly grocery budget in 2 weeks. And I told her, I said, "We are going to wait and see how the Lord is going to take care of us this month. We are going to see what the Lord is going to do to feed us." And no kidding, somebody just randomly just sent me $50 in the mail. And I'm like, "We got groceries." But the Lord, He does. It's His battle, and He will take care of us. Amen. Even if you got an overeater on your back. Oh, worship does not make a way to sit on our hands and be lazy. Because even when He said And the end of verse 17, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. So he's like, he's given them this great word, the battle is going to be mine, but you still got to get up and go face the enemy. You still got to get up. It's not, I'm just going to sit and see what the Lord is going to do, but you still have to get up and go. So somebody read from 18 through 21.
Bowed down with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kehathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise to him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever."
So just imagine, what if we were in California and there's this whole street gang out there saying, "When you guys come out of that church, we are just going to mow you down with bullets. We're just killing all of you when you come out the church." And we stepped out the door singing, "You're worthy of it all." And we just walked out there just singing as a group. Does that seem like any type of sensible line of defense? That's what the Lord told them to do. He says, "I want you to go out, and I want you to send the singers first." Well, Jehoshaphat would have told me, "Pam, I want you to go first singing." I probably would have said, "I want you to go first." Like, we need to talk about this. But that's what he did. He told them, "I want you to go out singing." So let's see what happened. Verse, I have to keep moving so I can see the numbers. 22 through 26.
As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. As they were defeated, the Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Okay, stop right there. Do you see what just happened? There was three armies waiting to take them out. Three armies waiting to defeat them. And when they started singing, the enemy got confused. They turned on each other and started killing one another. Until there was not a man left standing. If Satan comes at you to try to knock you off your square, and you say, "I'm just going to praise the Lord. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all." Satan is like, "What? What?" The enemy gets confused when we start worshiping in the midst of a bad situation. All right, Lau.
Okay. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baccarat, or Barakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Barakah to this day.
And Barakah means blessing. So they called it the valley of blessing. So that those three armies had so much supplies with them that they, so worship makes a way for provision. Because since they worshiped, they ended up getting all this bounty of riches and stuff that all these dead men had left. And it took them 3 days to collect it all. Worship makes a way for everything. Worship makes a way for more worship. In verse 27, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. How many times has God saved us from something and we're like, well, thanks God, I will see you never. And we just go in exactly the opposite direction. And we don't even thank him. Don't even give our lives to him, because it's so many times I know for myself, and I was like, oh Lord, just get me through this, just get me through this, and I promise. And then when I got through it, it's like I knew I could do it. All of a sudden I gave myself all the credit instead of giving it to God. But these people, worship makes a way for more worship. That was the first thing they did. They were so grateful. That's how vast and how big three armies was coming against them. And that's how big and overwhelming it was, that they were so grateful. As soon as they got back, that was the first place they wanted to go, was they wanted to go worship. So worship. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Worship lets other people know how big your God is. Because the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms because they heard how the Lord had delivered them. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So worship brings peace. Worship brings salvation. Like, because Jehoshaphat worshiped, because he called his kingdom to worship, everybody was saved. Because somebody worshiped, you're here. Because somebody worshiped, because my parents worshiped, I'm here. I'm here live today. They worshiped and prayed, I went to prison. They worshiped and prayed, I went back to prison. They worshiped and prayed, I went back to prison again. They worshiped and prayed, I got out, 10 years on drugs, relationships with women got completely worse. They continued to worship until finally when I surrendered my life to the Lord. Because somebody worshiped and prayed is why you guys are here. We've been worshiping and praying. We've been asking God to bring people here who needs to know him, who needs a relationship with him, who needs to be delivered from where they are. Because somebody is worshiping and praying, it brings salvation. So, we're going to sing again. And this time I want you to mean it. Do you remember the words?
Nope.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. And you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. I was Saturday morning, we were setting up for a conference of prison evangelists in Indianapolis, and the two people that was in there setting up with me, I had a great morning just with the Lord that morning, and I couldn't quit singing while I was setting things up, and I'm like, don't you guys feel like singing? And they just looked at me like, nope. But, so what does that, does this say anything to you? Like, do any of you, does it relate to you? Do you understand it? Any?
I could say that, I mean, the part where you said about when God blesses us, a lot of times, I'm not saying this for everybody else, but I know for myself, I'm happy that I'm out of the situation I'm in, and I just turn my back and keep on walking until I stumble upon a new situation. And, oh God, please, please, please help me out of this one. And then, you know, it's back to the same cycle. You know, I think if I was to pray to God, you know, I've always been the type to only pray to God when I need help to get out of a horrible situation, but I don't ever sit back and just thank God for the little things. Thank you for waking me up in the morning. Thank you for keeping me and my kids safe. You know, just let them know that I'm so grateful for everything that he's been doing and keeping me together. So, you know, I just need to work on that, being grateful and knowing that, I guess the saying is about God being a jealous God, and the way we care, I care sometimes, care more about other things in life more than him, and wonder why a lot of things in my life get taken away from me because I'm not putting him first. Mm. So that's what I got from
it. Thank you.
Jason, and I like to say, I just recently I took my third step, like sincerely took it.
All right.
What is the third step?
Well, it's, you know, just giving it all to the Father, you know, our heart.
And this is the third step.
And ever since then, I get up and I pray.
Amen.
I hear my voice. Yeah, too, you know.
Amen.
Blessed.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Share that hope, brother. Share that hope.
Yep. That's what I was doing this morning. I was on the floor crying like a baby. Yeah.
You know, too many times God called me in the back of the day. I sit in church, and when God would come to me, visit me, and prick on my heart, and I feel the tears coming, but I would look to the side, see who's looking. And if people were looking, I would fight it off. Or God would have me, or I want to raise my hand and stand up and go to the front. But I look to see who's looking, and I would fight it off. And I'm just going to, and what you're talking about now, was praise the Lord. Never quench the spirit. Let him have his way. I had to learn it don't matter who I cry in front of. Don't matter if I lay down on the floor and you have to step over me. Doesn't matter because I'm going to give it all to God because it all came from him. He saved me from the worst place that you could ever be in life that I thought. I had reached a dead model. But I realized today how powerful and how important it is just to praise the Lord. Don't matter who's looking. Don't matter if you're home alone. You just praise the Lord, man. There's a power in it.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Brenda.
I know, I thank God for forgiving me so much and allowing me to not just read his word, but to keep it in my heart with me. I'm able to verse some of the scriptures out of the Bible. Can I do one?
You want to? What, do you want to sing one?
I want to sing one.
Sing it.
I want to do Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Almighty should abide in the shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and he will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the nonsense pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Neither arrows that fly by day, neither destruction that lie waiting at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it would not come near thee. Only with your eyes may you see the destruction of the wicked. He says, I will give my angels charges over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall dash you up by your feet. Let you dust your feet against a stone. The lion, the young lion, the archer, and the dragon shall trample at your feet. He said, in times of trouble, call me, and I'll be there because you know my name. He said, I'll give you long life and every salvation. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Good night, ladies.
Bye.
Yeah. Jose?
I just like the part of just how they acknowledge him, like in all their ways, and like it says, you know, he'll direct our path and he'll show us the way as long as we keep him first, like you said, like they did, before our emotions, before our thoughts, before destruction, before anything, you know, whatever may come against us, work release, jail, probation officers, acknowledge him. and he'll show us which way to go.
Yeah, because another thing that could have happened if they wouldn't have first turned to the Lord and would have talked about how big the army was, they could have just scared each other to death. Yep. They could have just been shaking in their boots. But, all right, Jose, close us out.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity just for us to come together, my Lord. You say in your word, if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you'll direct our path. So at this moment, Father, we acknowledge you, Father. We ask you that you direct each individual here, Father. Direct our ways, Father. Help us to be more like you, Father. Help us to let the world and our coworkers and anybody that's around us see less of us and more of you. Help us to walk in love and help us to be very grateful during these times of Thanksgiving, Father, to count our blessings and to be very thankful and grateful of all the things that you've done for us, Father, individually and throughout history. We give glory to your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.